and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger, and welcome to this special series on Christmas traditions. I asked Dr. Robert Whitehead with New Zion Baptist Church to join me for this discussion about several well-known traditions and their origins. Even though many of our beloved Christmas traditions may not have biblical roots, the messiness of the nativity story itself shows that God can use everything to bring people together. I do need to make a correction. I mentioned in the conversation that the genealogy of Jesus only mentions two women. Matthew lists four women in chapter 1, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Uriah's wife, which is Bathsheba. I hope you are enjoying this series on Christmas traditions, and go back and listen to some of the other episodes if you missed them. I also released a previous series on People of the Nativity on the podcast, which you can find on my website or your favorite podcast platform. And now, sit back and join me for this talk with Dr. Robert Whitehead. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. Today we have Reverend Rob Whitehead with us. He is with New Zion Baptist Church, and thank you so much for joining us today, Reverend Whitehead.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I am really looking forward to this conversation. We've already had some discussion on the Christmas traditions, but before we really dive into that, I would love for the listeners to kind of get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Rob Whitehead. I'm originally from Portsmouth, Virginia. I am one of seven kids.
Okay.
Father worked at the shipyard in Portsmouth, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom for most of the time, but as we got older, she began to work in, like, retail.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married for 43 years.
Congratulations.
We have two sons, Bobby and Matthew. And we have two grandsons and one grand puppy.
Okay, so life is full.
Yes, it is.
Yes, indeed. Now, how long have you been at New Zion?
This is my 32nd year. The date that I accepted the pastorate was the day that our youngest son, Matthew, was born.
Oh, wow. So quite the momentous date.
Yes.
An occasion.
Yes.
Okay, so he's definitely grown up. That's all he's known.
Yes.
All right. Now, what brought you, I didn't ask you this earlier, but what led you to go into ministry?
It was one of those things, I guess. Maybe I was destined to be in ministry, but I really wanted to be an attorney. I really wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe God figured that you would be better served to argue for the kingdom. How's that?
Perhaps, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about some Christmas traditions today. And to start out, what are some of your favorite Christmas traditions?
Coming together as a family, that's real. That's always have been big for us. My mother was only child, and my father was one of nine.
Okay.
And so my mom didn't have siblings, so she always wanted everybody to come together for Christmas. And so we came together for Christmas, and then it was always food. My mother would, she knew all of our special food, so she would, whatever somebody's special food was, she would prepare. And so that worked for us.
Yeah, well, and with a large family, there were a lot of special foods.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I'm learning that as my kids are growing up, and they have significant others, and the significant others have favorite foods, and also foods that they don't want, or foods that perhaps, you know, are not healthy for them.
Yes.
So it's having to expand the selection of dishes rather than just the ones we're used to having. We have to tweak some or add some. Or, you know, just know that some people aren't going to have those. So.
That's right.
So definitely lots of different dishes to choose from when you gather the family together. So I know when we were talking earlier, we talked about the Christmas in America it's kind of hard to just put Christ back into it. We have so many traditions, and there's so many that I love. I mean, I like decorating the Christmas tree and giving gifts and decorating and the Christmas music. I happen to really love Christmas music, so I'm looking forward to right after Thanksgiving, to start listening to the Christmas music that I do enjoy. But a lot of our traditions, some of them, I believe, are biblically based. and yes, some of them are not.
That is correct.
But they all kind of incorporate all of Christmas. So what are some of those traditions that you know of, maybe not, had a background in the church, but are still very special?
Well, people think of Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. That really was a pagan custom.
Yes.
Because why would you bring a tree inside of a building? That was truly a pagan custom. And also in terms of sharing gifts in terms of certain times of the year, some of those customs were pagan customs, but they found their way into Christianity. Mm-hmm. And because of those, traditions, they're part of what we see as Christmas now.
Yes.
And so there, it can be a positive thing and it can be a negative thing too. But what I like about it is it can be a time that people can come together. Mm-hmm. So I think those things we have to remember. And you know, we think of the nativity scene, and if people really got into the background and all, the wise men weren't there that night.
No,
Jesus
they were
was born.
Not.
And so when we think about those type of things, and it was about a couple of years later, because when we go to the gospel, to the writings of the gospel, it would tell us that when the child, well, not referring to the baby, but you know, we do those things, but it's become a part of who we are now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even though technically the shepherds and the wise men were not there mm-hmm. at the same time,
right.
It does help. I think the origin of the nativity scene was to just help tell the story mm-hmm. because at that mm-hmm. time, too, not many people knew how to read.
That's right.
So you didn't have a written Bible that you could
that is
read
correct.
From. You needed a picture, a story. You needed something in front of you to help tell the story. So in order to tell the mm-hmm. whole story, the wise men were part of Jesus younger, not the birth,
right.
But part of that early life.
Mm-hmm. And that is correct.
So I think that's probably why they incorporated
yes.
it, which, you know,
yes.
as we've said, okay, maybe it's not completely biblically sound that the shepherds and the wise men were not there together. But I really like my wise men and my nativity set. I think they're beautiful.
But it has a purpose.
Yes, it does have a purpose.
And so the purpose is bigger than how we got there.
Yes.
So I mm-hmm. think that's so important.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you make a very valid point in that even though it's such as the Christmas tree or mm-hmm. some of the gift giving may have had some other origins,
yes.
like bringing the boughs in, they did it during Roman times mm-hmm. or other stuff, that we can still kind of bring it around and incorporate it
yes.
and then attach a new meaning that can spark our coming closer to Christ. And
yes.
I know with the trees, there's an old legend with a missionary Boniface mm-hmm. a long time ago. They were sacrificing to an oak tree and
uh-huh.
he cut it down. And supposedly an evergreen tree
uh-huh.
grew in place of it. That's
uh-huh.
the legend.
Right.
But then the idea of bringing an evergreen in the middle of winter is like that new life. You know,
right.
God is evergreen.
Yes.
He's always there. There's life even in the midst of dark places that look dead.
Yes, and life continues.
Yes.
That's the other part about it, that life continues on. And the big H word, there is hope.
Yes.
And so that gives us hope in terms of coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Even now as we gather, Christmas is always still a time of hope for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I think so.
And growing up as a child, I remember on Christmas Day when the fighting was going on in Vietnam, even though I was a young child, I knew that the fighting would stop. They were
mm-hmm.
even if it was 24 hours, they would cease fire. Now they would start back up
right after.
Yeah,
I mean,
but for one day there was hope. And that there was peace.
And there was peace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think there is. There's something special about the holidays.
Oh, it is.
With all the decorations. You know, whether
it
there's
is.
Snow or not. I actually was in Hawaii in part of December one year. And
mm-hmm.
it was a little strange to be seeing palm trees everywhere. And I'm like, it's supposed to be cold and pine trees, not palm trees. And Santa Claus in a swim trunks. But that but that's just because I'm not used to that
right.
being
right.
in Virginia. But
right.
whether it's snow on the ground or sand in your toes,
yes.
there's still a special feeling. There's just a special feeling about the holidays.
And it happens every year.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Every year it happens.
Yes.
Well, you know, things could be may not have been going well early, even fall of the year. But then when Christmas time, there is that sparkle of hope that things are going to be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think some of those traditions, even though they weren't necessarily biblically based, I think, as we pointed out, there's a purpose.
Yes.
And I think there is a way of, I think I remember reading that there were missionaries to the Slavic and the Germanic tribes long time ago. But, and the idea of incorporating some of that in that the God is God of the trees.
Yes.
He's the creator of our universe. Mm-hmm. So he has dominion over all of our gifts, over all of our trees, over all of our nativity sets, over any of the traditions that may or may not have started in another way. Mm-hmm. They can still point us back to him because he is Lord and Savior over all of it.
And that's key to it. Yes. Yes. It points back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And through his son, we can have a better life.
Yes.
And so that's so important.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah. And I think there was, in a conversation we had earlier, we talked about the family of God in that whether we celebrate with a turkey or a ham or a steak or sushi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It runs cross-cultural.
Yes.
And that we're all related in that. And he came for the whole world, no matter how we celebrate Christmas or what traditions we have around it, that they can all point back to him.
It unites us together as one, one with God.
Yes.
It unites us one with God. And that's exciting. I think that's exciting that people can be one with God and then they can be one with each other. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I might agree with everything everybody might say or do.
Yes, but this is true.
But we can be united on some things.
Yeah. Well, and I think we can agree to disagree.
Oh, yes.
And on certain topics, but then find common ground on others. And whether you put up a tree or whether you don't, we can still acknowledge that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, that's how it is. And in some of my research and looking at Christmas, I know the Puritans banned Christmas.
Yep, they did at one time.
Because they just said, during the 17th century, it was a pagan.
Yep.
And so they created somewhat of a vacuum that you weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas. So that left a hole.
Yes.
And the universe does not like holes.
That's
they want to fill those holes up.
When there is a vacuum, something will fill it.
Yes.
And so in theory, we hope it's always the right thing, but it's not always the right thing.
No, it isn't always the right thing. It was fascinating to me to see how some of the traditions came about.
Yeah.
And some of them really had some lovely meanings, like with the tree. We mentioned the tree.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading about Queen Victoria and Albert. Uh-huh. Albert came from Germany, which is where the Christmas tree really kind of got its foothold, was in Germany.
Yes.
And that. So since he was of German descent and background, he brought a tree in.
Uh-huh.
So then there was a picture with the royal family, Queen Victoria and Prince Albert had a decorated Christmas tree.
With gifts under it.
And then they had the gifts underneath it. And that was how the gifts and the tree kind of came together, because gift giving, I believe, is biblical.
Oh, yes.
The Magi coming
yes.
and giving gifts to Jesus. Now, he didn't bring any toys.
He certainly
did not bring a Fisher-Price toy to Jesus. It was the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which, as we know, was also prophetic of his crucifixion, resurrection, and burial. And the gold was as the king.
Yeah.
But they did bring gifts. And gift giving was a tradition in a lot of different cultures and a lot of different times of the year. And then we somewhat attached the gift giving to St. Nicholas,
who
was
correct.
A bishop.
Yes, that's correct.
Then he became the guy in the red suit.
And that's who we see in the malls today.
Yes, we don't see a bishop in his liturgical gown from Turkey in the malls for sure. And that, but with the whole idea of gift giving, and that's how really was a big influence on the tree and the gift giving. So we kind of went from a biblical background of gift giving to somewhat of a pagan gift
custom,
giving and different things.
Kind of intermingled that together.
And then merged them all,
brought
them back to the church, and now it's been commercialized, so it's kind of back to secular slash you know, sacred and that sort of thing. So it was interesting to me to see how those, you know, influences
came in and then kind of intertwined.
Mm-hmm. And intertwined.
Intertwined. And now we have what we have.
Yes.
But I still go back to the belief that even though we have the secular that has become mm-hmm. with the religious, that it can still be a good thing if we use it in the right way or if it's mm-hmm. presented in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm frequently drawn to when we're not necessarily supposed to put our sacred in a box.
Right.
We're not just supposed to keep church on Sunday. We're not supposed to keep Jesus in a box. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to be a part of all of our lives, every facet.
Every facet and every day.
And every day, yeah. And we are supposed to be in the world, mm-hmm. but not of the world.
That's correct.
So whether now that, you know, we've discovered the Christmas tree is not necessarily mm-hmm. in the Bible, that doesn't mean I'm going to throw my Christmas tree out the window. Because then people are just going to think I'm weird.
Yes.
And so I think we can definitely incorporate that and use it to point it back.
We can. And I share with you during Christmas of 2020, that was the first year of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I live in the Quinton area, which is near Richmond, Virginia. And so they wanted people to keep up the trees for another month for those first line workers.
Okay.
And so we kept ours up. And then my wife said, Robert, let's keep this up. Let's just keep our tree up. And so we normally decorate it with the different seasons of the year, with Lent, purple, with Pentecost, it was red, and the common season, the green, mm-hmm. and go back to Advent. But people, and I walked in the neighborhood, so people who know where I live, they would ask me about the tree and all. And so that's a good opportunity where I can share my faith with them mm-hmm. in a non-confrontational way, but just in everyday life. And so it has been a marvelous opportunity to minister.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is. I think that's lovely. And it certainly saves time once you're decorating for Christmas then.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like it because 90% of it is already done.
Yes. But no, I think that's neat. And I love it when we can all find something meaningful. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the Bible or scriptural. Yeah. But if it becomes something that can point us and point our hearts back to Christ, whether that is a tradition of decorating, a tradition of the family getting together, a tradition of gift giving, mm-hmm. The tradition of the music. There's so many different traditions around
Christmas. And special meals.
Special dishes. And movies. There's so many things tied up with the Christmas holiday that aren't necessarily biblically based. But as we mentioned, when you put them all together and you just mix it, mm-hmm. there is a magic of Christmas. And I remember reading, we talk about the magic of Christmas. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at the Christmas story, it's way beyond a rabbit in a hat kind of magic.
Yes.
Or Frosty the Snowman magic. I mean, you think about the fantastical story mm-hmm. of, first of all, but also the other parts of it that are mm-hmm. not clean. Because we very much sanitized the nativity story.
Oh, yes.
I can tell you, I did not look like that after I gave birth. I don't look like any of the versions of Mary I've seen in a nativity set.
And also, people come in, wise men coming in.
And they've been traveling, and they probably have not had a bath in a long time. So, and the shepherds were definitely, they were bargain basement, not even bargain basement. They were just below basement of the social strata of the
time.
But angels, like a whole multitude of angels showing up. And of course they're going to say, don't be afraid, because more than likely these shepherds were scared silly. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the heavens open up.
Yes.
And just what kind of a fantastic, magical story is that?
Something they were not expecting. Mm-hmm. Not expecting that early morning hours.
Oh, no. Wow. No. But they were also, I love how they were just going about doing their everyday lives.
Yes.
And we can go about doing our everyday lives, and God can burst in and change everything in a heartbeat.
He shows up.
Yes.
He shows up. When we least expecting him, mm-hmm. he shows up.
Yes.
In a good way. Yes. In a good way.
Yeah.
Good way. And so much so, they had to go see for themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think of a whole army of angels showed up because, too, we want to sanitize the angels as well as these cute little cherub things that we see at Valentine's Day. And that is not biblical. Yeah. I mean, these angels are some pretty...
Wow.
They could be scary.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they're warriors.
Yes.
They are warriors. Yes. They show up not as cute little baby cherubs. I mean, they are big and mighty with wings and swords and blinding.
Wow.
And, I mean, they are really warriors.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. So, but the whole story, when we think about the whole story, again, it can bring us all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it can.
Peace on earth and goodwill towards everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And even some of those, shall we say, dirtier parts of the story. Mm-hmm. Mary got pregnant out of wedlock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was not acceptable in any way, shape,
that's
or form.
Right.
She could have been stoned.
That's right.
She could have been killed for that.
That's right.
So that's not a very pretty part of the story. And yet, even when you look at Jesus' lineage.
Yes.
He had the only two women named.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rahab.
That's right.
And Bathsheba.
And we know each one of their backgrounds.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, and we do. Yes. And they are the ones that are named. They're not.
Wow.
All of the other women are not listed.
Wow.
Only those two women are listed. No, it's not. I misspoke. It's Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ruth. Yes. I misspoke. I was going to say, wait a minute. Yep. I don't think I'm correct. So, I need to correct myself. It was Ruth and Rahab, which Ruth was a foreigner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Rahab was a prostitute.
Yep.
And so you think, in his lineage, for that to get pointed out, for the women to be mentioned at all. But then those two women specifically were the ones mentioned.
Yeah.
I think it really, we've talked about how Christmas brings us together. I think that just really opens the door for that inclusivity of cross-cultural and that God loves us. He knows our backgrounds, but he knows our hearts.
Yes. So he brings us all together with different backgrounds, and he loves us all. And so you're talking about coming together.
Yeah.
That's a coming together story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely a coming together story.
Ruth, you mentioned Ruth was a Moabitess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this woman from a different culture, but yet she's included and she's part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So we can, we can have some members of our family that maybe come from a very different background.
That's correct.
And we can include them and they can add a richness and a joy to our lives.
Yes. And also for those whose backgrounds were not so good, it can give them a sense of, wow, you know what? I'm accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm accepted. But along with acceptance, there comes some responsibility.
Yes, there does.
And so those two can merge together.
Yes. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, I wish the church did a better job of what I believe Jesus was able to do, in that he was able to look at people and see everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet love them completely. Mm-hmm. And then encourage them to go on and live better lives.
Yeah, not condemning them, but loving them.
Yes,
and I'll keep going to that four letter word hope, and offering them hope.
Yes,
and that things can change.
Yes,
for the better.
Yes, they can change for the better. So all those other traditions and everything else. Were there any others that you wanted to make sure that we covered that we haven't spoken about yet?
I think family coming together, food and sharing, giving of gifts. Those things are important. But I guess it also is a time that we can do some reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a good time of year to reflect and see where we are, and especially as we go towards the new year.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that we might want to correct in our lives. And so I think this season is always an exciting season for me.
Yeah. I like, I've heard lately that one of the things that we can do, like around Thanksgiving, you hear a lot about gratitude and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't just be contained to that. We
yes.
talk about the magic of Christmas
yes.
and that coming together and mm-hmm. the hope. And I'd like to think that, yes, it is there at the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it would really be nice if we could use it more as a reset to then carry us through the rest of the year.
Yes. That, yes, and it stars us, at a different point so that we can continue that. And not just, and we continue it every day because it becomes a part of who we are. It becomes a part of our DNA.
Yes.
It becomes a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And it makes the world a better world.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about what this world could be like if we kept that that peace and joy of the Christmas season throughout the whole year.
It would be a difference. It would be a difference.
It would be a very different world. Yeah. And I don't think we touched on something earlier in our conversation, but I don't think we've touched on it here real quick. In that whole, the history or the of Christmas and how it's evolved through the years. Part of that was the Dickens story, A Christmas Carol. And we talked about the giving, but then also that idea of giving to others and serving the you know, those that are less fortunate, those that are needy, that are in a difficult spot, and that humanitarian side of using Christmas as a time to give gifts to those who are less fortunate, who are in a war-torn country right now, or because of circumstances, their finances are such, they may not be able to give their children gifts. And so Salvation Army has the angel tree, and a lot of churches will do different programs to help other people
and
in the community.
And we do that too. We do that in New Zion because we do, because this is a special time of the year, but we want people to feel that they are loved.
Yes.
And that... not only do we love them, but God loves them.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think this is a good time.
Yeah. Well, and to me, even though it isn't part of the nativity story that the wise men also brought a bunch of canned goods with them, and so I do think it is very biblical that we are there to help others out. I mean, Jesus said, if you've done this to the least of me,
you've done it to me.
You've done it for me. Yeah. And so that part of the giving and the serving of others is absolutely biblical, even if it may not have been in the nativity story to do it at Christmas. I think it's another one of those resets to really think about it and then carry it through. Yeah.
So bottom line is, even though we know that there have been some customs that we do, a tradition that may not be biblical, but we can use them for good.
Yes.
And that people can come together, people are helped and assisted. And I think it makes a better world. Again, it makes a better world.
Yes, I do. I think it does make a better world. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up the Christmas part. And because this is something that I always ask at the end of A Woman's Heart is, what would you say, because it's kind of, I guess, using the reset button, think about things and then reset going forward. I think the Christmas time is... as you mentioned, self-reflection. There may be something that God's kind of starting to nudge somebody on. Okay, now during this Christmas season, I want you to, afterwards, I want you to do this. What would you say to encourage someone to do, to step out and do what God's nudging them to do?
I would say, listen to the Lord and just do it.
Okay.
That's it. That's it. No, nothing more. Just listen to the Lord and do it.
Be obedient.
Yes.
Take that step.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, Reverend Whitehead, if someone is interested in finding out a little bit more about you or New Zion, is there a website? How can they contact you or the church?
New Zion, New Zion, Baptist Church, Williamsburg, Virginia.org. Or either just call us at church, Facebook. We're available.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation.
I have enjoyed this. We have to do this again.
Yes, we will. We will have to do this again. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart with Lisa Granger, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to walk closer to God. Today's conversation is part of a series on Christmas traditions, which I pray will help you enjoy the holiday season and point you to Jesus, whose birth we are celebrating. I would love to know what some of your favorite Christmas traditions are. You can let me know on social media or email me at lisa@lisagranger.com. For a bonus episode from a previous Christmas series on People of the Nativity, head to my website, lisagranger.com, or follow on your favorite podcast platform. Merry Christmas.